The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Wednesday, January 17th, 2007. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. In agricultural news, the U.S. House is poised to approve a bill that would fund the development of renewable fuels. Also, a new Illinois law will increase the state's fleet of flex fuel vehicles. I'll have details of these and other stories this half hour. And Todd Gleason will be by with a report on certified crop advisors. And Drew Lerner will give us the latest on agricultural weather. It's all on the Wednesday edition of your Closing Market Report.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing. Strategic Farm Marketing is now holding a series of risk management seminars throughout Illinois and Indiana. Information on seminar dates and locations is available at sfarmmarketing.com or 800-383-0046.
Wednesday afternoon at the Chicago Board of Trade and in Kansas City and at the Merck, prices settled like this. In Kansas City, March wheat, $4.98, up 6. May, $5.05¾, up 6¼. At the Board of Trade on LaSalle Street, March wheat, $4.77, up 13. May, $4.86¾, up 9¾. July, $4.92½, up 11. March corn, $4.08, up 5. May, $4.19, up 5¼. July, $4.25¾, up 4¼. December, $3.89, up 1¼. March beans, $7.22, up 13½. May, $7.36¼, up 13. July, $7.50, up 13½. November, $7.70½, up 13¼. March soybean meal, $2.13.80, up 5.70. March soybean oil, $28.97, up 18. At the Merck January feeders, $93.92½, down 37½. February live cattle, $92.55, up 27½. February lean hogs, $61.87½, up 1.25. Joining us now on the telephone to talk about the markets is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He is located in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon, Paul.
Hi, Dave. Nice to talk to you.
Wow. Another big day at the marketplace. New contract highs, especially in nearby corn and bean contracts. What do we owe this strength to?
Well, Dave, it was an exciting day, and right before the close, after the close, I talked to one of our floor sources, and he said, yes, everybody was very much flabbergasted that the market did put in such a tremendous, stellar performance. Not only did soybeans close up, they did it in heavy computerized trading. The wheat market also put in a very strong performance on strong trade. Corn settled back, and we think there was some commodity fund liquidation in the last few minutes. Well, you know, it's quite evident from the last USDA crop production report. There's only 23 days of corn supply. The commodity funds have basically reallocated and rebalanced a big part of their funds, and we aren't seeing the tremendous seriousness of fund liquidation. I mentioned to you this morning one grain merchandiser buyer for a very large corn firm basically said there's a sticker on every machine that says do not run out of corn. It's the end user, the typical supply person a box of Kellogg's Corn Flakes I think only costs 5-6 cents a box. So corn is a very cheap component of that equation. We don't see any evidence of any livestock liquidation in cattle and hog ethanol plants. If they're hedged, are doing extremely well. No problems in the export market. We even saw Mexico come in and say they're going to bring in some corn, white corn and yellow corn, from the U.S. to keep their tacos at a fair price. So the market is extremely strong. Also, I wanted to show one other point that Dan Bassey made at our meeting in Chicago, that the Chinese are basically selling a new automobile every 6 seconds. So it does show that the world economy is moving in the right direction. It seems like every government in the world, whether it's communist, a Republican or Democrat, socialist or elected, is all in favor of renewable fuel. So those things all add up to a positive demand outlook, and one reason why I think we saw strong closes across the day's trading floor.
And we're pleased to say that Dan Bassey will be our headline speaker at the 2007 AM 580 All-Day Ag Outlook meeting at the Beef House.
He's looking forward to that a great deal. I saw him and visited with him, and he said, and I think he does sneak in and listen to Commodity Week every once in a while. So he's well aware of what's going on in Central Illinois.
The Beef House meeting on February 27. So the pertinent question to my mindset then becomes, Paul, what acreage is the trade thinking about?
Yeah. You know, if it was brought up that, 7 million acres is programmed in, we do, with a smaller carryover, need to boost that acreage. And when we boost that acreage, that means less soybeans, and there is some dryness down in Argentina and with their production here in the near term. We know they didn't put much lime or much fertilizer on. That's a factor. We also got the definite impression that all of a sudden the world is exploding in veggie oil demand. Maybe not so much here in the U.S., but with Malaysia basically going into biodiesel. Also the growth in India and China. It all equates to some very good, tremendous values and calorie boost with veggie oil to improve diets. Of course, here in the really sophisticated world of in the U.S. and parts of the world, we like to consider beef and pork and poultry one of those deals. But what we're really seeing in the world is the explosion, not only with soybean meal usage, but also with the soybean oil and the veggie oils around the world.
Bring the question up, because if the trade believes that not enough acres have yet been bought, and you begin to look at technical charts, you got to go back to 96 to kind of see where the next resistance and support points are. And they're pretty doggone up there, 455 and a quarter, for example.
Yes, and that's one thing the end user does have an advantage of, buying and locking in margins. Actually pre-buying corn ahead of time with basis trades and also deferred contracts. Storage facilities, you bet, will be full. And there's all kinds of avenues that the end user can protect himself. And as a result of that, the prices can go higher than what people anticipate. And still function, and that by having good hedged margins, it does equate to the necessity of carrying just a little bit extra inventory when we talk about the supply-demand at such a tight level. And the other thing is, it is evident that the farmer has done a major sell job in the old crop corn, and he has also sold a big lot of new crop corn as well. So the corn crop, in my opinion, is out of the farmer's hands and into the end user. And that's one of the things that we are hearing about at these meetings. Build storage, the commercials are building storage, and we are seeing it at the farmer level as well.
Well, if I haven't done anything with new crop corn yet, Is there any kind of level that you would recommend that I do something at? I mean,
I'm
getting anxious because of these levels being so lofty.
Well, it looks a lot better at $4 than it does $3. Let's talk about that. And, you know, it is a lofty price. We are seeing a couple things. A lot of people are calling in and asking about the cost of buying puts. We do talk to them about the traditional method of actually booking the corn at the elevator and then buying bull calls or option strategies on the upside, and that's a little cheaper. One of the things that's also noted is it's going to be very expensive for the elevator, no matter if he's one of the big three or one of the large co-ops. It is going to be very expensive for him to maintain margin money and hedges as the markets do fluctuate a great deal. In our Chicago meeting, it was definitely pointed out that we are going to see some tremendous price gyrations. And, of course, that's one of the things about the art of being successful is, of course, trading smaller, reducing risk, but at the same time being with the trend. So, you know, that's kind of like the magic act of being well-balanced and on the right side of the market. But it's something that the end user and also the country elevator has got to be very well aware of.
Thank you much, Paul.
Have a profitable day, Dave.
You too. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Be sure to join us this evening at the Pontiac Elks Club in Pontiac, Illinois at 7 o'clock Central Time for another one of our AM 580 Ag Outlook panels. I'm sure today's contract highs will be a topic of discussion, as well as the acreage shifts, the whole litany of things going on in the world of agricultural commodities. Panelists tonight include Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing, Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing, and Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities, as well as Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services. A full litany of panelists tonight at our meeting, January 17th, Pontiac Elks Club, 7 o'clock. Hope you can come. In agricultural news, the U.S. House tomorrow is set to approve legislation that would create a separate account within the U.S. Treasury that would be dedicated to accelerating the use of renewable energy resources and alternative fuels. Allocated dollars would also be used for the use of promoting energy-efficient products and increasing research and development of clean, renewable energy. The account, named the Strategic Energy Efficiency and Renewables Reserve, would be funded through royalty fees on oil drilling operations in the Gulf of Mexico and by ending some tax breaks now enjoyed by the oil and gas industry. The Senate Agriculture Committee today held a hearing on USDA's Environmental Quality Incentives Program. The committee examined criteria that USDA's Natural Resources Conservation uses to allocate funding under the program. Senate Ag Chair Tom Harkin says the program, in his words, shortchanges many states with serious environmental needs related to agriculture. Last year, a Government Accountability Office report concluded the EQIP formula tends to favor dry land farmers and livestock feeding operations and ranchers over other agricultural producers. Illinois is making an effort to help corn growers. A law will require the state to purchase flexible fuel vehicles when purchasing new cars. Amanda Vinicky reports.
The state owns a fleet of about 12,000 vehicles. Workers may drive them to inspect the condition of roads, to monitor state parks, and to drive to and from meetings. Starting this July, whenever one of these vehicles needs to be replaced, it will be with a car that can use either regular or E85 fuel, which contains corn-based ethanol. State spokesman Justin DeYoung says it will help the state's economy.
As more vehicles run on E85, run on biofuels, biodiesel, you know, this is a strong step in supporting Illinois agriculture and the farmers who harvest these crops.
DeYoung says biofuels also expand the use of clean and renewable energy. but critics of ethanol say it's too expensive to produce and transport, and they question the overall environmental benefits. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Mexico officials say they are worried that higher U.S. corn prices are pushing up the cost of corn-based tortillas. Last week, tortilla prices in Mexico soared 25%, an increase that prompted Mexican officials to call for an end to import tariffs on more than 28 million bushels of corn. However, Mexico Economy Minister Eduardo Sojo says price relief will not be immediate, noting that tariff-free corn would not begin arriving in Mexico until sometime in February. Japan officials say the nation may end its current practice of inspecting all boxes of U.S. beef imports. Yesterday, at a public hearing, Japanese officials indicated the government has found no structural or systematic problems since reopening its border to U.S. beef last July. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says Senate Ag Chairman Tom Harkin should include farm program payment limits in the chairman's mark of Farm Bill 2007, the bill Harkin will submit to the Ag Committee. Harkin last week floated the idea that he may not include payment limits, but rather let that be guided by Senate floor debate. A final decision is pending. Grassley says the Senate Ag Committee is the place to deal with payment limits.
The reason it would be very beneficial for it to be in the chairman's mark is then somebody that's opposed to it would have to take it out, and they would have to have a majority to take it out, either where that's true, whether it's on the floor or in the committee. And that's a case of two votes, and it may make a difference. So I would plead with him to put it in the chairman's mark for the simple reason that it's more apt to be in the final product coming out of the Senate, and it also shows his complete support of it.
Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Seven dairy producers across the country, including five large cooperatives, are suing USDA to block a new milk pricing order that the dairies argue would cost them millions of dollars. The dairies are seeking an injunction from a federal judge to prevent USDA from finalizing a new minimum price under the federal milk marketing orders that the dairies argue would cut milk prices 20 cents per hundredweight. And a soon-to-be-released report from the U.S. Department of Energy's Energy Information Administration predicts that more than 46 billion kilowatt-hours of electricity will be generated from wind power this year. That's a 60% increase over last year's prediction. A long-term analysis indicates that nearly 52 billion kilowatt-hours will be produced by the year 2030. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
There are 14,000 certified crop advisors in North America. As Todd Gleason reports, the program of continuing education they complete helps keep the food supply secure and the industry informed.
CCAs, Certified Crop Advisors, spend most of their time, usually, in the field. They scout and walk and examine all types of crops across the United States and Canada. Mostly, CCAs act in an advisory capacity. They help farmers make decisions about crop production and protection techniques. They're certified by the American Society of Agronomy. Howard Brown is a CCA. He works for Growmark out of Bloomington, Illinois, is an adjunct at the University of Illinois, and serves on the Illinois Certified Crop Advisors Board. Brown says not everyone can pass the test, the two exams it takes to become a CCA.
These exams that I mentioned, they're not easy exams. The general passing rate for both is about 35% to 40%. So not everybody gets through these exams.
Once the exams are completed, the certification must be upheld. Well, every 2 years, CCAs in North America are required to complete 40 hours of continuing education credits. Their education helps secure the food supply. and inform the industry.
These people on an annual basis go into programs and learn more about agriculture, get updated for agriculture as a result of their continuing education credits, and it makes the whole industry more informed as a result.
If you'd like to know more about the Certified Crop Advisors Program, visit agronomy.org online at agronomy.org. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agriculture Director Dave Dickey. We know managing your farm operation is time-consuming, and sometimes you miss hearing our agricultural programming. But now you can get AM 580 Ag delivered daily directly to your computer. You'll never miss a broadcast of the opening and closing market reports and Commodity Week again. Subscribing is easy. We've put instructions on our website at willag.org. Look on our homepage for Subscribe to AM 580 Podcasts. It's quick and easy, and you'll always be informed with timely market analysis. Drop by our website today, willag.org.
Support for WILL is provided in part by Risk Management Commodities, presenting an agricultural outlook meeting on Saturday, January 20th in Terre Haute, Indiana at the University Inn. Lunch will be provided. More information is available at 866-837-9027.
Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market is Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Good afternoon, Kay.
Well, hello to you too, Dave.
I suppose on this run-up that we've seen the last week in the futures that producers are steadily letting something go?
Oh, they certainly are. The day of the report, Friday, and then again yesterday and today, I've bought quite a bit. Now, today they were a little slower responding to the market. It didn't really get busy till around 12 or 12:30, but more right after that, when corn was up 13 or 14, yeah, I bought a lot, Dave. They're responding to this market, and every time we make new highs, here they come back, you'll find another wave of it.
Producers selling it out of the field, or are they looking at contracts January and on into 2008?
They are selling more January through March of 2008 than they are out of the field right now. I have a lot of firm offers at 375. You know, the new crop, you know, these index funds are playing this nearby, which to me is ludicrous, but that's neither here nor there. But, you know, once they get out into the, get their long positions out into December, and they'll eventually get there, you're going to see a lot of fireworks out there. And so, you know, when they see the cash doing what it's doing and new crop isn't, they've kind of backed off that a little bit.
Are they selling soybeans too?
Not as much as they are corn. These guys are just really bullish on soybeans, and I'm buying some. I'm buying some new crop in January, but as far as beans in the bin, and I think there's a lot of beans out in the country, probably more so than corn, and but they want $7, so they're just a little stubborn in that respect.
Well, they're not all that far away from getting $7, are they?
Well, we never have hit $7 on cash yet. We just, because the basis levels keep slipping as this board goes up, train mm-hmm. values just keep getting worse and worse and worse, and we've backed off probably a nickel in corn and a nickel in beans in the last week or so. So basis levels keep getting weaker, so we have not hit $7 cash.
Well, let's get your current prices then.
Sure. Cash corn is $3.84, cash beans $6.83, and new crop wheat today is $4.18.
Thank you much, Kay.
Thank you, Dave.
Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. And in about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner about the weather.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich's administration announced a new electronic hiring system today that officials hope will reduce the chance of state jobs being manipulated. The Department of Central Management Services, which handles state hiring, hopes to have the new web-based system in place by the end of the year. The Blagojevich administration is under federal investigation for its hiring practices. The University of Illinois Board of Trustees meets in Chicago tomorrow, and Lincoln Hall is on the agenda. Trustees will be asked to approve the hiring of an architect engineering firm to plan renovations for the 96-year-old building on the Urbana-Champaign campus. U of I Vice President Stephen Rugg says the planning process is the first step in the 3-year, $66 million renovation of Lincoln Hall. The renovation would reconfigure classrooms and refit the building with new electrical, ventilation, plumbing, and communication systems. Two Central Illinois National Guardsmen have been arrested on suspicion of selling stolen body armor, night vision gear, and other military equipment. FBI agents say they arrested 36-year-old Christopher Henkel of Decatur and 28-year-old Lee Shoby of the Cumberland County town of Toledo on Friday. The men were released after appearing in federal court in Urbana yesterday. The Indiana Supreme Court has issued a stay in the execution of a convicted killer sentenced to die on Friday. The court says Norman Timberlake's attorneys have raised questions about Timberlake's sanity, similar to arguments that the U.S. Supreme Court is considering in a Texas case. An Indiana House committee has unanimously approved a bill that would require Indiana schools to teach children about the Holocaust. Holocaust survivor and Terre Haute Museum operator Eva Kaur says it would be a way to help children understand that there is hope after despair. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, helping to create a storehouse of possibilities and products from a single seed. ADM, resourceful by nature.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner, the senior agricultural meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Let's begin in Brazil, where they have been getting lots of rain of late, it appears.
That's exactly right. In fact, we just did the soil moisture analysis a little while ago, and we're still looking at excessive amounts of moisture for a large portion of what they call center south Brazil, which is a very large and important soybean production region as well as corn producing region. And they also produce sugar cane and a lot of other crops in that area. And the ground is so wet and has been so wet for such a long period of time that there has got to be standing water in many fields and probably some pretty good flooding occurring in some small rivers and streams across the region. Now, that sounds really bad, but Brazil is an amazing place, and they are able to produce a crop under the worst of conditions at times. I do think that we've seen too much cloudiness and too much precipitation this summer so far, and that we're probably going to lose a little bit of yield potential in this wettest area of the country. Now, keep in mind that a wet summer never produces losses like a drought, and so we don't want to get too carried away thinking that this is going to really send the markets higher. But nevertheless, there is need for drier weather and greater sunshine there. We're actually in the middle of reproduction in quite a few areas, and that makes this need for drier and warmer weather intermixing with some sunshine, with some rainfall extremely important for those yield potentials.
Put a point on it, where are we talking, like Sao Paulo to Mato Grosso, those type of areas?
Yeah, Sao Paulo, the northern half of Sao Paulo, Minas Gerais, the southern two-thirds of Minas Gerais, southern portions of Goiás, and eastern portions of Mato Grosso do Sul.
Turn your attention to Argentina. Are they in line for some net drying?
Argentina, yes, has already seen some drying. We do have a fair-sized region that is becoming a little bit too dry, but it's not in the heart of oilseed country. It's in a minor corn production region in La Pampa and southwestern portions of Buenos Aires. That area is quite dry, both at the top and subsoil levels at this point in time. It's the only large area, though, that is dry in Argentina. There's a smaller pocket in the northwestern production area that does include a little bit of soybean country. This would be in northwestern Santa Fe and southern portions of Santiago del Estero. These areas are a little bit on the dry side, but I'm not worried about Argentina at all. At this point, the subsoil moisture is still favorable in much of the nation's key production area, and the forecast is offering more shower and thunderstorms back in the forecast after about a five-day break here. Some showers occur Friday and Saturday. They'll probably not have a lot of meaning, at least not to the driest areas in the southwest. and then some more rain will occur next week, probably Tuesday and Wednesday, which will probably have a lot more meaning to it, and then maybe a follow-up system on the 25th through the 27th. So I think Argentina will do all right. We're going to have some pockets of dryness for a while, though.
Are you beginning to worry about India's wheat crop?
Definitely. India's wheat crop and the rapeseed crop both are poised to reproduce now over the next 6 weeks, and there has not been a significant amount of precipitation in their unirrigated production region, and the forecast is still pretty dry for these areas for at least the next 10 days. Without that precipitation, both those crops, the dry land crop at least, will be vulnerable to some significant losses in production potential. Now, we're just at the beginning of the reproductive season, so there's still time for rain to fall. But given the weather pattern that we've had here recently, there certainly is reason for us to be at least somewhat concerned about the situation, and it's worth a closer watch for the next few weeks.
Thanks, Drew.
Have a great day.
Drew Lerner, Senior Agricultural Meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And that's today's Closing Market Report. Join us tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the markets. And don't forget, you can listen to today's futures analysis, cash grain analysis, and weather on our website. Go to WILLAG.org, and there you'll find it. This is Dave Dickey.